Amen. Was that one of yours? Amen. Good stuff. We gotta call the Dove Award people and see if you and I can get some dividends off of those things. Amen. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Back up to 3 messages a week. Man, I don't know how these Timothy guys did it. Man, studying for all those things, you blur the lines between all of them. This study started in January. So hopefully we'll creep along and then merge it in with some of the Sunday school stuff. Titus, I'd love to read all 3 chapters. We'll just read chapter 1. And then go to chapter 2, verse 1, and then see where we can catch up from the last time. Titus, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. That's how He does it nowadays. Remember, we said on Sunday, we teach, instruct, and preach at the church, which is patterned after the synagogue. When they refused to believe the truth, then they just started going into houses and establishing those things, and that's where we have what we have today. We're not doing sacrifices here. The only sacrifice here is Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because we're here to teach and to train and to instruct so that we can go out and bring somebody else to a saving knowledge in Christ. He hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause, now this Titus is what is one of 3, what we call the pastoral epistles. It tells us the things that should transpire, take place, so on and so forth in the church. Isn't it a good thing that he didn't want us to just assemble, but he gave us all the instructions on how to assemble, why to assemble, where to assemble, and what we're doing when we assemble? Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Amen. He said in verse 5, for this cause, Titus, left I thee in Crete, gives us a location, that thou should, a visible local church, visible, you could see it, you could go there, you could assemble with them. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest, and here's where we were the last time we were together, what were you to do there in Crete, Titus? That thou shouldest, 1, set in order the things that are wanting, 2, and ordain elders in every city. You weren't supposed to just stay there. This stuff, everybody needs to know this. Everybody, because if we tell the truth to everybody and teach them the gospel, then guess what? They can get saved. We can change things. And we don't have to just sit around and look at our phone and condemn everybody else. You know, brace yourself for June. Brace yourself for all the Christians that are going to make their comments in June on how wicked and terrible it is. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness. When those things were present, then guess what? That person was the devil's workshop to just do whatever he wanted to do. It wasn't, we all throw the sin, and it is an abomination. It's terrible. I get it. But the pride of Sodom was pride, or the sin of Sodom was pride, fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness. We complain about gas prices. Go where Beth Resh is going. Pay that. Man, that'll put a dent in your pocket. And then you got to depend on churches to keep you over there because you can't get a job. Number 2, he said, was to ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. He says, I've appointed you that. Now you need to appoint other people that and send them out. Isn't it wonderful? I think it was Miss Emily, you were with Miss Urchick this week. I don't think that was top secret, was it, Brother Baldwin? She was with Miss Urchick this week, former missionary to China. She was with Miss Urchick this week, and Miss Urchick was sharing all the blessings that God is doing for them in their home church. Freedom, faith, freedom, First Freedom. First Freedom, they're supporting the Urchicks for 1 year to plant a church in the Willoughby area. And then the church that they're in conjunction with, I can't pronounce the name, Heritage, with Pastor, who is out of Cleveland, that they sent to pastor a church. See what they were doing? See what they're doing? Did you get the pattern? They're ordaining elders in every city. Because you can never have enough cities, because you want to have a local church. You want each local place to have a church to go to. And so they're going to take on whatever left of that support so they can do that and plant that church successfully. I hated to see Brother Urchick not be in the school system anymore. But praise the Lord, he's going to be planting a church with his wife, got a good family, good kids. And I look forward to see what, I want to be a part of that. If it wasn't for them being fully supported, we'd start looking at doing something with them. But we've went up there, we've helped them, we've done our best part in it. Isn't that encouraging? Seems like somebody in their family read Titus. If any be blameless, now he's talking about these elders, he said, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. And then here's the third thing he wanted him to do since he left him in Crete. Holding fast. You want to set things in order? You want to ordain elders? And then this is what you want to do. You want to hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Somebody had to teach it to him. Somebody had to share it with him. He didn't just get it by osmosis. He didn't just sit around. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Was it Philip or Peter? Philip said, "Knowest what thou readest?" He says, "How can I accept what? Somebody teach me." He said, "Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. That's what the Holy Spirit will be for after you teach him. This is it." And you preach and you teach with conviction. And you show it in your lifestyle. Now the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. And he goes back, early church, wished he could have sent him to First Baptist Church of Ethiopia. But the gospel came to Africa. What happened to Africa? Why didn't they do something with the gospel? Do you know how many gospel people came to Africa? And then look at Africa today still. Doesn't that make you scratch your head sometimes? For there are many unruly. He said, holding fast, verse 9, the faithful word is he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So when you have a gainsayer come in, when you have somebody come in and just, what are you doing? Because you've been taught, here's what I'm going to say to you. This is what I've been taught. It's from the Bible, holding fast the faithful word. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Why was that? Because remember, they were in the synagogue. They didn't want to receive what was being taught. So they went into these homes and these houses in these cities and they taught the word of God and they multiplied. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Sounds like Crete had the same problem that Thyatira did. That somebody had to stand up and say something. This witness is true, verse 13. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. We're not going to put up with that. Paul told Titus, he said, "We're not putting up on it. Why do I want you to do this? So that we can stop these. There's mouths that must be stopped." What was the mouths that must be stopped? Those that were teaching things that were contrary to the gospel. You know, I heard somebody, I was listening to a podcast, somebody said unity. When you think of the word unity, what do you think of? Just people agreeing together? No, to have unity, you have to unify something around. What do you have to have unity? How lovely and it is when brethren dwell together in what? What is the unification there? Christ. That's why I struggle sometimes. I've said it in my own home. I've said it in the church. And I'll say it all the time. How is it that when Christ lives in all of us that are saved, there can't be a unification? And it's not unifying around. Brother Mike, how many times did I say this in the office the other day? I'm just one voice. I'm just one voice. Well, Pastor, you're a big voice. I'm just one voice. Still one voice in a vote, one voice in this church. But what happens? We want to unify around that. When everybody reads their Bible, then guess what we'll do? We'll set things in order, we'll ordain elders, and we'll hold fast the Word of God. And what does that mean? All the other things will branch off of that. We'll send out missionaries. We'll tithe. We'll give to missions. We'll do all the things that we're supposed to do. Because why? We're unified around the cause of Christ. Paul, we have so many people that tattoo Philippians. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's do all what things? And then what's that other one? Philippians 4:13. What is that one? They do that one too. Huh? What's the other one? My God shall supply all your needs. Is that Philippians? But my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because the Philippian church was a giving church. It has everything. He's supplying needs. Why? Because they were a giving church. You know, the people that suffer the most is the giver. I've never seen a giver suffer. You know, always has. He has abundance. But you, how can you outgive God? So the unification is around Christ. They're unified. They're together. And again, I go back to this. Why should some things ever have to be said in a church when we're all walking with God? Because God is not the author of confusion. One spirit bears record with another spirit. There's a lot of times somebody will mention something. Mike was in my office the other day and we were talking. Mike mentioned something. And immediately, what was it, Brother Mike? It was just a spirit of unification. For what? Around Christ. This is what we want to do. This is how we want to do it. To reach other people. And I said, now, we've got to go out there and we'll share that with other people. And guess what? The people that really want to see something get done, that unify around Christ, guess what they'll do? Let's do that. Amen, preacher. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but yet even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. What's he doing? He is establishing at the church of Crete that we're going to teach the Bible. We're going to set things in order. We're going to ordain elders. What is the purpose of ordination of elders? Does anybody want to? Well, this is Bible study, dialogues. Anybody want to? What would be the purpose of ordaining elders in the church of Crete and other churches? With what I gave as a premise Sunday morning on the purpose of the church. To protect what's in there, continue to teach it there and elsewhere. We want people to understand. Do we believe that if a person hears the Word of God, believes the Word of God, it'll change their life? So they need to be taught. It's the famous thing. Give a man a fish. It's the whole premise behind it. Give a man a fish, what? He eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, guess what? You know what our government has done? It's give fish to people. Because where do our blessings come from? Listen, I can't say it enough. I don't talk about money in this church because I think you ought to give. I'm teaching about money in the church because there's a blessing to be received by giving. There's a blessing. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they said, you know, you've said before, make your money work for you. It's amazing when you get all of those things in place, how your money can work for you. That might be might not sound like a strong biblical context, but that steward that was over his Lord's goods, what did he do? He left and made his money work for him. Now, even God commended him, or Jesus commended him and said, he's even smarter. He's even smarter because he sits there and knows what to do with it. We are the prisoner of people giving us fish. There should never be a time in the life of a believer. Yes, we can be impacted by gas prices. All of us are. Yes, we can be impacted by eggs. Yes, we can be impacted by milk. But if we, what did Joseph do? Joseph became second in command of Egypt. How did he do that? Because his dad taught him how to use a one of them Chinese calculators, Habascus, what are they called? Abacus. His dad taught Joseph how to use a Habakkuk? Abacus? Is that what you call them? No, that's not what happened. Without a full canon of Scripture, without the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, Joseph listened to God and was wise. Hey, there's going to be a storm coming. I better save up for 7 years. That Joseph did that, and then here we are. We can't even perform basic maintenance on a car because we don't have enough money saved up to do it. And got a full canon of Scriptures and got an indwelling presence of the Spirit of God and know better and still can't do it. Isn't that a shame? Doesn't that make you just... So we're supposed to teach people. Every problem that our society has, the solution to it is here. Every problem with marriage, with transitioning, with gender, with all that stuff wasn't a mystery. They were doing it when the children of Israel were taken in captivity in Daniel's day. Nothing's new. When Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, there is not a problem that we face that can't be solved by the Word of God. And here we are scratching our heads, figuring out I'll tell you what, if we keep everybody on the right side of the aisle, then everything should be good during midterms. Where does God come into play with that? Yes, we should have a voice. Yes, we should vote, not our conscience. We should vote Bible, whatever name it has above it. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight, I plead. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we are back at looking at the topic from our study of Titus, a manuscript for mentoring. Quick review what we have covered to get us up to speed so we know where we're at, we know where we're going. First, when we opened up this book, the topic was mentoring. It's imperative that everybody in this church is a mentor. It's imperative that everybody in this church is a mentor. If we don't mentor, then what's the next generation look like? God even knew how important it was, and he said, hey, when you cross that river Jordan, this is a pretty big event. We don't have the full canon of Scriptures yet. The New Testament Gentile believers are going to have that, and they're going to be complacent with it. But he says, while we're not there yet, why don't you guys grab some stones? You men, grab some stones. Put them on your shoulders. Set them up on the banks. There must have been something about those stones that could have proven that they were from the bottom of the river Jordan. Okay? They put them up there, and for memorial, why? Because he said there's going to come a time, Mike Lovett translation, that your children are going to ask you, what mean ye these stones? And you'll be able to tell them, you'll be able to teach them the history of who we are as a people and what God did for us. And Rahab saw that and said, hey, I see that pillar of fire at night, and I see that cloud in the daytime. We see the miraculous things that God's done, and we want to be a part of that. And so we started out with a manuscript for mentoring. All of it is outlined in Titus. It's the pastoral epistles. Quick review. First, we looked at the purpose of mentoring. We already touched on those. The purpose of them are outlined in verses 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Number one, set in order. Set in order what? The things that are wanting. There's always something that's wanting in this church. And you always have to set that in order. I apologize for last Wednesday. I had to set a lot of things in order, but I do appreciate this. You guys are always on board with it. I appreciate that. I don't know if it's because I've earned that. I don't know if it's because we just don't want to go deeper into it. I don't know, but I appreciate it, and I feel like we're always heading in the right direction. We might not have all the money we need, but we're heading in the right direction. I appreciate that. Future looks bright. There's a lot of crumb snatchers, feral hogs, whatever you want to call them, beautiful Christian little baby children, whatever you choose to name them. That are sitting on our pews. I'd rather have pews. Saying this fast, understand it. I'd rather have a lot of young feral hogs sitting on a church pew than an old weathered hog that had to be put out to pasture. Because once that hog's put out to pasture, and I'm in that category, and guess what? There's no little hogs behind them. I'm thankful. I know some of y'all get all bent out of shape by their voice and their pitter-patter of feet, and I know I come up behind you sometimes and I hear you screaming like you got a devil inside of you over kids. That's what kids do. We train them, guess what? Rather than scream at them, stop them and teach them how to walk. Stop them and teach them the purpose. Well, they're not my kids. They are. Takes a village, doesn't it? All right, this is going to want to be done by 8:15, but it's going to be a struggle. We're going to set in order the things that are wanting. We're going to ordain elders. Elders teach. And we're going to hold fast the word. How do we do that? Verse 9b, we exhort. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the naysayers. How else will we do that? Verses 10 through 13, we expose. What do we expose? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, we expose. I'm sure everybody was pucker factor 17 Sunday. I was just teaching about what Jezebel can do in a church. But if she can do that at Thyatira, guess what? She can do it at Graham Road. Who's the she you're referring to? I don't know. It's just like Cinderella, if the shoe fits. But don't think I'm naive to it. Don't think that it's not happened. Why? It has to be stopped. Because watch this. I said this when I first came here. We have people that are better disciplers than the ones that should be discipling. What do I mean by that? Hey, let's go have a discipleship session down at McDonald's. Hey, let's come over and have a pie party at my house. And you know what they're doing while they're there? They're teaching things which they ought not to teach. And so what do you have to do when you're setting things in order? You exhort. That's what a pastor does. Well, pastor, I don't need that exhortation. You should have just, if you knew something was going on, you should have just pulled them off to the side. Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God can't change them through preaching, then me pulling them in my office is all it's going to do is scare them. They're going to hide or they're going to run. I'd rather they get convicted by the Spirit of God and say, I ought not to do that because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me and the Spirit of God just chastised me and said, don't do that. Now I'm going to get it right and I'm going to apologize. Isn't that a better way of doing it? And I know a lot of people think, well, you ought to just pull somebody off the side and do that. I've done that a lot of times. They're not here anymore. But I've done a lot of the other here, and guess what? They're still here. So I just figure I'll let God do that part. I'll just preach. I'll hold fast the faithful word as I've been taught and give an invitation and beckon people to the altar and please, and show the application of it, because these unruly people, their mouths must be stopped. Can I just say this? If you do not take the position of training somebody in the right way, then you have took the position of training somebody in the wrong way. There is no middle road. I know preacher says well to do this. You've trained people not to train people. You're the guy at work that just sits there and says, I'm just getting a paycheck. I'm just here for the paycheck. I'm not here to, if I see somebody working on a machine and it could be dangerous to them, I'm not going to walk up to them and say, hey, if you'll just do this differently. Well, I've tried to do that before, and they don't want to listen to me. Could it be the way you say it? Exhort, expose, chapter 2, verse 1, educate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Educate them. Tell them why. I grew up in the church in a time that they told you the what. They didn't tell you the why. Cut your hair. Don't wear this. Don't do this. A list of 1,000 things. And then I'm sitting here thinking, okay, why? I don't know why. I don't know why. Here's a verse of scripture. I was sharing this with somebody the other day. I said, you know, the Bible says, it is good that a man not touch a woman. I said, when somebody talks to a young lady or a young lady talks to a man, guess what? And in a man that's married, do you know there was a time in the church that the pastor and his wife would shake hands at the door? Do you know what she used to wear? A glove. Why was she wearing gloves? Why was she wearing gloves? Somebody sits here and goes, that is absolutely foolish. No, there was a reason. I've talked about it with kissing. I've talked about it with touching. There are parts of you that God created for good. And when you're touched in those areas, you say, well, if you touch a woman's hand, no. Maybe they drew a bigger line at that time, but she said, I'm not going to have physical hand touch with another person. I've said it before when I was here. Don't come up. Listen, I'll shake hands, I'll fist bump, whatever your preference is. But when you do this to me, shake my hand, you're okay. And then you touch the back of it, and then you hold it while you talk to me, that bothers me. My wife doesn't do that at the house. And so I was telling this young man, those are things that need to be taught. Because when you get to that place where you're conversing with a young lady, not dating, not courting. You're communicating. We don't want you touching. You know why? Because it triggers little things. Triggers little things. Get things going. Things that God created. Marriage is honorable in the Lord, and the bed is undefiled. See, those are things you have to set in order. Those are things that these young ladies need to hear and these young men need to hear. Right? We set them in order. And I know some... We educate. We teach. We not only tell them the what, we tell them the why. Why do we do that? Which then brings us to the people of mentoring. As I mentioned, Sunday, the local church is a place of assembling. And when we assemble, there are many things we are to do. But priority is on preaching, teaching, studying the Word of God. Why? The short answer is because we are the pillar and ground of truth. As we assemble and study the Word, we leave out of here and go into this world equipped to give every man an answer. The house of God is designed to be a place of mentoring. And when you are not involved in the assembly, teaching, and studying of the Word of God, while mentoring those within, then you are part of the problem, not the solution. I'll say this. It's very evident when the Baldwins have children come through here. If they stay any length of time, does anybody else besides me see a stark difference? Does anybody notice that in just that short period of time? You know what's taking place? They're not only being taught here and in Sunday school class and in other places, they're being taught at home. And you know what it does? It increases their chances of being a successful human being in the world that we live in. The world doesn't do that. The world doesn't do... Is anybody besides me confused at what's going on in the world today and going, what happened? Did another meteorite bump the earth and kick it off of its axis and everybody's just lost their mind? And as we study His Word, we can provide them with the answers. Well, I don't know. You'd have to come to church and ask my pastor. Why? If you've been saved 5 years, the first letter and the second letter to the church of Corinthians was 5 years apart. And Paul rebuked them after 5 years because they were still babes. That means there's an implication there they should have been at least grown, that they could handle the Word of God to be able to teach it to somebody else. We study His Word, we can then provide them with the answers. They see our lives and may ask, or God may open a door for us to share. And that is not just exclusive to outside, but as well inside. When I've said before, hey, stay after. I don't mean just stay after and just stand there. If you'll watch me, I want to go home. My hip hurts. I'm not a people person. Some of y'all drive me up the wall. I want to see my grandkids. I want to go home. I just want to sit down. I want to have milk and something sweet and go to bed. But I stay. And you know what that does when I stay? It affords me the opportunities because I walk around and I talk to people while they're having conversation for me to have input. And they might be talking about something I can share. Why wouldn't I want to share experiences and things that have taken place in my life so that Noah doesn't fall in a ditch like I fell into? Where were the people in my life interjecting themselves into my life and saying, hey, here, I hear you got a new job? Yeah, I did. Did you pray about it? Well, I think I did. Well, when does it start? Well, it starts Sunday morning. Oh, did you share that with anybody? Well, no, I mean, I could have, but somebody could have been infiltrating my life too. Hey, I hear you're getting a new job. Where's it at? Yeah. Well, hey, would you pray for me since you're interested in it? Sure, sure. What's it look like? Is it shift work? Is it what? Oh, it's going to be Sunday. Oh, well, what's that going to do with church? You think, well, I'll tell you what, it's so hard to find a job nowadays, is it? So you're looking for a job, you're not waiting for the job God sent you. If God really wants us to grow, then I told my boys before they went out, and I said, you walk into a job and you tell them, I'll give you 110%. If they're looking for you to sell you your resume, then you give them this resume. I'll give you 110%. I'll prove it the first 3 weeks. But I'd like Wednesdays and Sundays. I study the Bible. I'm a Christian. I want to be in church. Your 3 weeks might be the test. And then after the 3 weeks, they say, yeah, we'll take you on. We'll take you on. You know what you're doing? You're showing them, you're giving them something of value, and you're telling them, my value came from my study in the Word of God. I'll give you what you need, and you ought to give somebody what you need, but that need that I'm going to give you comes from my study of the Word of God. I lose that, and guess what I'm going to be? I'm not going to be a very good worker. Now, some might still have a character of it, but it doesn't come natural. Dad beat it into you, maybe. But I'm going to tell you what, anybody that's a Christian ought to have a natural characteristic. If a man don't work, he don't eat. We've had people in this church that think they're Bible scholars and then can't even put a roof over their family's head or food in their family's mouth and think they're somebody special. And then other people give them, oh, you're just a great person. Why is somebody picking on you? Because the Bible says if a man don't work, he's worse than a... Those are things that need to be set in order, aren't they? We're losing ground in our society nowadays. You know why? Because the pulpits are silent. They put it on a sign. What's the sign say? Too much sugar? Huh? Sugar preaching creates truth decay. The people of mentoring. Although the implication is for everyone that knows Christ to do this, Paul leaves or addresses the whom to the what. Let's list them. I'll do a couple. We'll end. It's 8:22. Let's list them real quick. First one, son. Verse 4 of chapter 1. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Verse 4 implies that somebody's a father. And doesn't a father or shouldn't a father mentor his son? Paul was not married. Paul did not have children physically. Paul had children in the faith. I realize this as a pastor. I am fatherly to people. There are people that, and some might say, oh, they got daddy issues. We all got daddy issues. All of us that didn't have a father or had an absentee father. So you know who's supposed to make up for that? If the two places God created that would help you, the home and the church. Now the church should never fail you. But if the home does, and the Bible refers to it in Psalms, if my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will lift me up, right? Then we have the church. Glenn Mundy was a father figure to me. Bill Nicholas has been a father figure to me. If he wasn't a father figure to me, I'd be in jail today. So there's that. So don't accuse him. I'll tell you what, Pastor, just there's people in the church. Here's one. Jake Inman. Yeah, I mean, it's like pastor's his father or something. Is there anything wrong with that? I wish I could call somebody and have a father in the faith, somebody that taught the Word of God and burned the Word of God in my heart. And I could look at him and say, man, thank you for the years you invested in my life. I have the Roy Johnsons that were there for a short period of time. I have the Glenn Mundy. If Glenn Mundy, 82-year-old man, I was 27 years old enough to be my grandfather, brought us over to his house for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and he would just subtly just mentor me. So we have sons, which is an implication that there's fathers. Are you fatherly to anybody in our church? It's humbling for a Micah to say, Papa. You know what that tells me? He ought to get the same kind of treatment that my crumb-snatching feral hogs get. Here's another one as a mentor. Elders, verse 5. Translated from the Greek word presbyteros. Where do we think we get the church? The Presbyterian church. It means elder. The implication is the older elder will teach the younger. And in the early church, he teaches alongside of the men and aids the bishop. If I go by the wording of Timothy about desiring the office of a bishop, it infers that office would be of someone wanting to oversee the whole assembly. So for instance, I get here, I'm here two years. We haven't ordained elders yet, but there's older men in the church. We haven't gotten a bishop that will be a help. All of a sudden, something happens to me. The older men of this church, the elders of this church, should be able to get up in that pulpit and teach the Word of God. They don't have to have a doctorate degree. They don't have to have a master's degree. They just have to have the Holy Spirit indwelled inside of them, and they get up and teach the Word of God. Now, what have we tried to do here? We've got Matt Miller up here. We've gotten Jim Kaczynski up here. And I know it's humbling for them because there's this thing in our circles that believes that's the only one that can do it is the preacher. No, you need to know how to handle the Word of God before you have a family. And then when you have that family and you bring that family to church, you submit yourselves one to another. I submit to you, you submit to me. And we hold each other accountable to the truths of the Word of God. And when I veer from that, you pull me very cautiously into my office and say, Pastor, I don't know if you're hitting on all cylinders with that passage right there. You're allowing a lot of things to go out of context. Oh man, thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate your diligence to the Scriptures. So if I get killed in a car accident, the elders, the older men of this church can stand in that pulpit and keep this church together until chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. Now all of a sudden somebody sits here and says, you know what? Like David did. Somebody needs to lead this church. That's a bishop. What's a bishop do? That bishop word, the Greek word, he's an overseer. Now he oversees. When these guys used to get up in the pulpit and I said, you're going to moderate the services. We're going to do this September thing. I was wrong. I went back to him and apologized. You don't moderate nothing. You oversee. You oversee the blinds. You oversee the temperature. Is anybody else besides me hotter than a hog and slop in the middle of August? And Miss Linda's back there with a coat on like it's fixing to snow. And you oversee. You oversee the finances. You oversee all of that stuff. What are you overseeing? That we get the job done. And who helps? The elders. We keep the instructions there. You know what happens a lot of times when the bishop's gone? All of a sudden we cancel services and we get a pulpit committee. And we get shame on a church that gets a pulpit committee that's been alive for at least 5 years. Because elders should have been ordained. Things should have been set in order. And there should have been a plan in place. And shame on the people that sit in a church and say, well, you know, I know there's about 5, 6, 8 guys that are Timothy guys, but I don't know. I just don't like any of them. Shame on you. Shame on you. If there's something with these Timothy guys that you don't like, you know what I say? Get up beside them. Come in and have a conversation. Take them to coffee one day and say, you know, you need to work on this. Jake, I'll tell you what. I've been listening to you preach for a while. You ain't pastor. You need to have a little more grace in your life. You're pretty hard. You need to just tone it down a little bit. Get a little under your belt. Now, pastor was like you when he got here, and then we had to beat the fire out of him, and he got gray hair, and now he's a whole lot mellower than he was when he first got here. That's mentoring, isn't it? Some of y'all. Did the whistle blow? Son, elder, bishop. It infers that office would be of someone wanting to oversee the whole assembly. Where are they anymore? Where's the young men that want a pastor? Where's preach? Why is it you never hear anybody surrendering to preach anymore? Why is it you don't hear anybody saying, praise the Lord for Brother Urchick. Praise the Lord for these guys that are training and being patient and everything else. Their time will come. And when that time comes, you'll say, man, I wish I would have done something else. It's difficult. Overseeing people is difficult. Overseeing people is difficult. Well, Pastor, I know you say overseeing people is difficult, but being oversaw is difficult. And you oversee us a bit too much some days. Here's another one. Bishop, verse 1:7. Chapter 1, verse 7, translated from the Greek word episkopos, which means an overseer or a guardian. Acts chapter 20 translated it as an overseer rather than bishop. Again, all these go back to the purpose of the church. It's a place of instruction. It's a place of teaching. It's a place of preaching. Aged men. Chapter 2, verse 2, the Greek word is presbuteis. That means an older man. It's where we get the word Presbyterian. It's used 3 times. New Testament. Zacharias, he was referred to as an old man. He taught in the temple. Luke, aged men here. Luke was where Zacharias was mentioned. And then the aged men here was referring to Paul in the book of Philemon. And then again, positions of mentorship. It is implied that the older will teach the younger. Let me ask you this question. Now they're going to teach. We're going to watch. Here's our lesson plan for today. Mike leaned over to Lizzie right now. Guess what he's doing? He's mentoring her. He's teaching her. Because she's three, we can put her in a children's program or she can be taught how to be in. Well, it's just too early, is it? I'll tell you what, I want to stop for a minute. I want to tell you young people something. You do not know how much you bless my heart. You're wild feral hogs when that invitation's over. But I'm going to tell you what, you have learned, hey, I'm going to get a lollipop, I'm going to draw, but I'm going to tell you what, when that invitation's over, I'm pulling my socks off, I'm going to the gym, I'm turning on lights, I'm tearing things up, I'm putting candy wrappers everywhere else. They'll get it sooner or later. Look at how nice Miley sits there. She ain't always been that way. Can I get an amen, Sienna? She just nodded her head. Let me ask you this. What are you teaching people? What are you teaching them? What can be taught from watching you? How much do you invest in your life? I find that it's become such a part of me. Caden and I have become very close this last day. I told him, I said, you know, I think you need to come over to Papa's preliminary junior camp. But here's the thing about it. When I got the chainsaw out or the clip, now all that stuff, when I got it out, I was going, oh my goodness. I told him just hold the chainsaw one time. And then I looked and he had the chainsaw in his hand. I said, yeah, let me get that back from you real quick. Because Avalyn was there, you know what I'm saying? And Caden's got a black eye right now because Caden put Avalyn in a rear naked choke. We won't say what Dad was trying to teach them at that moment. But anyways, here was the thing about it. When he was working, he was focused. He was focused. It is good that a man bear a yoke in his youth. Wesley, can't find a better worker. He helped Papa put a breather on his motorcycle one time. He's helped with yard work. I haven't let him loose on the ZTR yet. I like my yard. And I want him to have all four limbs. I could see him just a ZTR. Could you see him on a ZTR? What's my point? Who are you training? It just becomes natural for me now when they're around. I do it in every aspect of my life. Some way, somehow, with something. I'm seeing somebody. Can I say this? It's not Michael Lovett's nature. It is the Holy Spirit's nature. It is God's nature to what? Teach us, train us, develop us to what? Be a people that the world looks at, Daniel chapter 3, Daniel chapter 1. They were what? Head and shoulders above the greatest nation at Babylon. Babylon. And here's some children that come in captivity. Mom and Dad must have been doing something. It didn't just happen. It don't happen on its own. And I reiterate this over and over again to the parents here today. You're training an adult. When you sit at home tonight, look at your children. Is the adult that you're training the one that you see in the future doing anything? If not, change it. I know life gets busy. Phones can be a preoccupation. But sooner, they've been working to go to camp. I believe it's necessary, and I'm done with this illustration. I believe it's necessary to learn how to be a man. Look somebody in the face when you shake their hands. Stand up when you shake their hands. You know all the things. Treat a lady like a lady. Open a door. All those things. You know all those things. Caden come over. He worked. Avalyn worked. Didn't tell them how much they made. We didn't negotiate that. Trying to give them money for camp. I want them to succeed. When my kids are bad, I don't punish them and keep them out of church. Keeping them out of church is not a punishment. Keeping them out of camp is not a punishment. You're being rebellious. I hope nobody does that. Well, I know they want to enjoy themselves. Yeah, maybe they'll get God when they go. So every time I talked to Caden, he kept doing this, uh-huh. Yep. Avalyn, What is Caden's current salary wage that he's earned right now? Zero. Because for every time he didn't say yes, sir, I said 50 cents. 50 cents. Papa! 50 cents. You say, man, that's hard. Can I tell you, I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I'll use my children as an example. My boys came to this country from Africa. They worked over there from 16 years of age and on. One at the Mercedes-Benz dealership. The other one at a dealership. Here's how they got the job. They walked in, and while they were being talked to, they said, yes, sir. They weren't looking for a job. They were just there, and they were talking to him. They said, yes, sir. Oh, my goodness, you've got good manners. They came back to this country, started out at an oil change place down the road, not for a livable income, a starting income. And now both of them are executives in different branches and companies. You know how it started? Yes, sir. Listening to somebody, having manners, talking to somebody. Caden might not understand what I'm trying to teach him. But don't you hate it when you walk up to somebody as a police officer? Uh-huh. Yep. Let me see your supervisor. What'd you stop me for? Pow! Who does that? We do that. We train people. We train. You young ladies in this church are young ladies. I see it in you. I watch. Miley, Sienna, you don't hold too many babies, but you're getting there. You two are going to be great moms. I believe it. Now we just got to find you great men. Where does that happen? Here. This is what we teach them. It's how we teach them. Why? Because they ain't doing it out there. Have you been in the school systems lately? Talk about feral hogs. Talk about monkeys and apes and crocodiles and everything else. The church is the pillar of truth. And we teach people how to act. And you know what makes a difference? Then when you get in Babylonian captivity, you might just get a position. Daniel. Father, we'd ask you to help us. Help us to understand mentoring is important. We teach people, we train people with our lives because somebody invested in us. We hold fast the Word of God as we have been taught. So help us to take this time when we come together. Yeah, it's good to see each other. Yeah, it's good to fellowship. It's wonderful to sing songs. But Lord, we're to open up the Word of God, find out what the Bible says, and then execute it in our deportment as we go about our ways. Help us, I plea. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's